I'm your host, Sherry Edwards. This is BBS Radio. Thank you for tuning in. The music that you just heard might sound familiar. That's Sheila Chandra. She has done some of the James Bond theme songs. And I played the cut Prima Shanta Dharma, which I really don't know what means. But we played it in honor of our guest tonight. His name is Satish Moray. Sheila's from India, and so Satish is from India. He's a master's student here at Ohio University, a former actor and singer and a software engineer. And Satish, how'd you end up at Ohio University?
I wanted to do something that could affect the world in a positive way, and I spent about 5 years thinking of finding a root cause. I was in a software industry working for a software company, and since I was always skeptic about things, always over foreseeing problems, I went through a course where I learned the process of root cause analysis, and I started analyzing things to the root. Okay, what causes this, and then what causes that, and try to find the root and then try to heal the root to heal everything else. And I did that for about 4 to 5 years about problems in the world today, and I found out that media is a major factor. If properly set, any kind of public media, if properly set right, can bring positive change in the world. So I applied to film school.
So how did you end up from being an actor and a professional singer to software?
Software was a need, like every artist needs his bread and butter. Most of us have seen Tootsie. So, yes, that was a financial need that needed to be fulfilled. I had some family debts. I came from an obscure background, and my family was in a lot of debt. I needed to recover that. So as a part of my responsibility towards in India, the family is an integral part of your life. So you kind of give back to your family what they gave to you. And it was required for me to be in an industry where I could make some money, and I had the technical skills to do it.
I think it's awesome that you took some computer thing, which I really think we made computers in our own image, but you took a computer analysis and now you've overlaid that on humans and this new film that you want to do. Can you, first, let me just tell you, we have a very loving and a very forgiving audience here, and we sometimes need to be reminded where we came from, and most of us have learned our lessons of selfishness and consumerism and that kind of thing, so don't be too hard on them. But one of the things that I read in your film analysis of what you want to do, Satish is going to talk about sustainability and ecological degradation and how frivolous and thoughtless the people in general in first world countries are. Okay, tell me what you consider first world countries.
Well, all the developed nations that are consuming the world resources without knowing the process in which those resources are imported or even excavated in their source countries, and in what way they affect the ecology and the population and social life of the people living in those countries, I call those countries the first world countries, the consumer countries. So developed nations.
So the U.S. in particular.
And Germany and Japan and so-called the developed parts of China, and most parts of Europe, where there's heavy consumerism.
Do you consider that your country is a third world country?
Parts of it. Bombay, I wouldn't say, because Bombay consumes a lot of resources. There are 3 or 4 major developed cities. I come from Bombay. I come from Mumbai, the economic capital of India. and I have a first-hand experience of how it can be. So I was never surprised when I came here, but I saw the problem firsthand when I was in Bombay. So.
Well, some of you are probably out there asking, how did Satish end up on this program? Because we usually talk about vocal profiling. Well, I met Satish in a class that came out to the Institute of Bioacoustic Biology, and we teach this course every quarter to film students, and it's how to get your actor to portray the character through his voice, not just through his movements and his dialogue. So I got very intrigued with Satish as a person and what he was trying to accomplish in the film that he wanted to do. So I invited him on the show to talk about the film because I think it's really intimately important to what we're trying to accomplish on this show, which is getting people to their core, to their real stuff. And that's what your film's about. Would you give us an explanation? Long one, if you want?
At first I would like to say, like, all documentaries hurt. It's a documentary film. They hurt a little, like Michael Moore made his documentary called Sicko, and the tagline of the documentary was, "It's gonna hurt a little." Somehow or the other, we know, my statement of purpose when I applied to Ohio University School of Film was also that the world is burning in flames of dissatisfaction. We are trying to
achieve happiness.
We are trying to achieve happiness. We are trying to be satisfied. We are trying to be happy. But no one probably is, and if somebody says he is, living in a consumerist world, he's probably lying because he doesn't want to be a fool. So I was like a little child looking at it from a very innocent perspective. If most of us know the story of the emperor's new clothes, and where the emperor is wearing nothing, and the person who made the clothes, he made the emperor believe that those who are unintelligent don't see the clothing. And everybody, nobody wants to call himself a fool, so everybody's saying the emperor is wearing very fine clothes, and the emperor is naked on the road, walking, showing his invisible robe, and everybody's smiling and laughing and roaring. And there's one little girl in the crowd saying, "The emperor is naked. There is no clothes." I'm like that girl saying, "There is no happiness. This is a hoax." Everybody's trying to lie, and everybody's thinking, we'll get there. People of different ages, and that's what my film is going to track. It's going to track people of different ages and the definitions of getting happy, and just show them that, like, as a child, you thought this would make you happy, and you got it, and then you knew it didn't. And then you thought that would make you happy. And then as you grew up, your definition of happiness went on changing depending on what kind of media was bombarding on you, these definitions, and how systematically your independence is totally chained down of thought. And so that's what the documentary is about. It's a comedy of showing how media basically portrays, tells you there are no news. I came to this country, and it's happening in my country, too. There are no news. There are views. You're supposed to believe this, or you're supposed to believe that. Don't think.
How can you make a comedy out of this? That just seems like a very serious subject.
It'd basically be a sarcastic comedy. I believe comedy can get many points across. People laugh at them. And I've seen, like, I was planning to do a course in my university, a film studies course, where I was showing the evolution of comedy in Hollywood. And if you see, like, comedy started with making fun of the bad guy, and later on it has evolved slowly in making fun of the good guy, and then eventually it evolved in making the bad guy look good, and now it's all about embarrassment. It's like this American Pie and all these movies. I'm sorry to take names, but like all these movies show super embarrassing situations.
I walked out of that movie.
Exactly, and super bad, and all these movies. Basically, they show you super embarrassing situations, and they desensitize you. You laugh at it, and you're desensitized. You're just like, okay, this can happen, yeah. You know, my friend can sleep with my grandmother, and it's a comedy.
I thought it was sickening.
Yeah, and this is the kind of things that are being done today. There are different sitcoms, breakups, cheat this, cheat that, you know, fool him, steal him, you know, lie, no problem. Just laugh about it and do it in your life, and it doesn't matter. So basically all the things that we probably shouldn't be doing. And what it generally affects is like, I just observed, I have a very analytical mind, and what I observed from everything that was happening, I've been watching American television since I was 9. I'm 28 now. Cable television came to my city when I was 9. And I've been watching through the comedies and the soap operas and everything, and I probably figured out this one nice thing is that this television or this media, it keeps you 2-year-old. You never grow beyond 2 years.
You're talking about American television.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And maybe all the television that's influenced from American television. That's how everything is shown. Is that a 2-year-old, you know, everything he sees that the child grabs, and he holds it to his chest and says, mine. I will not give. I watch. I will not share. And that's why 2-year-old not sent to school, because they're too selfish. After 3, let's say after age of 3, child psychology says that you understand that, oh, this world needs to be shared. You know, this space needs to be shared. I can't just make everything mine. But television kind of makes you so selfish that you remain 2-year-old all your life, no matter how big you grow. This is what I want. I get what I want. And all those logos, just do it, and, you know, just get it. And how media has slowly transformed the whole concept of it started with love and Charlie Chaplin loving this blind girl in Daily Lights, and that, you know, it's like in sacrificing, and slowly it all transformed into, you know what, your girl is like the one who's there with you and fights with you, and you can kill everyone else for her, and later on you can dump the girl and go to another girl, and then you can cheat girls, and you're the greatest guy in the world if you just fool around with everybody else. So
you're talking about reality TV here, aren't you?
I don't know. I mean, I've stopped watching television a long time ago now, but I know that's what's happening. I just sometimes happen to, like, be on airports or, like, on train stations, like, watch certain clips, and I know what's going on. It's like, that's what's going on. There is a limit of cheating. They cannot go beyond that. But the point is that what's happening because of this is that you become so selfish that you can't have one trusted relationship in your life, like one person you can trust and you can open your heart to. So you remain emotionally hungry. You remain emotionally, I cannot speak to anyone, so I have to lie to everyone except myself. And that feeling, even if you're living in a house full of people, or you're living with a wife or a partner that you cannot trust, the prenuptial agreements, you know, that eventually causes stress. That's the major cause of stress. And this is one unofficial statistic that I heard, that 65% of all drugs sold are mental-related drugs, directly or indirectly.
Pharmaceuticals.
Mm-hmm. Sold, like legal drugs. And those drugs are legal just because they are approved by the FDA. They have the same effect that illegal drugs may have in one way or the other.
Well, this term that you use, desensitize people, and you take drugs to feel good and to feel bad and to wake up and to go to sleep and to be happy and to be sad, and you're right. It's just it's an artificial
stimulation. It's not a natural life. It's absolutely not a natural life at all. You need coffee to wake up. You need beer to sleep. You know, it's like everything needs a chemical to be pumped into the body. That you're trying to say that the natural causes that made this body happen was wrong. The design is faulty, or is the lifestyle gone so artificial that you really, if you don't trust, you just can't sleep. People, there's another statistic, again an unofficial statistic. Everybody who has a bedroom which is worth more than $300,000 cannot sleep naturally. I mean, you have a fancy bedroom, but you can't sleep. What's the point?
You were talking about the TVs and the stereo systems and all that.
Yeah.
So, Tish, are you happy?
I would say I am.
What makes you unhappy?
What makes me unhappy is that I know what happiness is in other stones.
And that's why what you want to do with your film.
Exactly.
What do you think the solution is to make people happy?
Well, we have to go one step back at a time. Media has slowly evolved our consciousness to a level where we are having a serious amount of chemical consumption. It's like an epidemic. It's a myth. And the myth is like an epidemic, and it's spreading like wildfire. Cheap happiness, you know, it's like you're told what is happiness. You're told what makes you great. You're told what makes you happy. You're told how you should live. Everything has been told to a level where we have stopped thinking for ourselves. I saw this one Simpsons episode, and the little girl Simpson, she's trying to fit a radio on top of the TV, and she turns out the TV, puts on the power, plugs out the power, and Homer Simpson says, "It's 2 minutes now. I'll start to think. Turn on the TV." You know, it was a nice joke they put in there, but it's like, it's 2 minutes. The TV's off. I'm starting to think. Put it on. I don't want to think. You know, don't let me think.
Why do you think people don't want to think? And they don't know what's really their stuff.
It's because the same television shows that if you think something of your own, you're a fool.
Oh, the little girl who said the king has no clothes.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the movie The Secret?
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think it's a pretty good movie. It's about willpower and what you want to do. Freedom, that's what I'm talking about, is that if we have real freedom, if we have real independent will to do something, and even that is warped. Like people say, I do what I want, but basically when you see what they're doing, it's something that they have seen or that has been shown to them.
That doesn't make them happy in their heart and their soul.
It doesn't make you happy. And I'm trying to walk like one step back with this film. I'm just trying to show that all consumerism, like I heard another American saying once in Bombay, he was saying, it's 5% of the world population. 300 million is 5% of 6 billion. 5% of the world population consumes 40% of the world's resources. And the senator says, we will not compromise. American lifestyle will not compromise.
But Satish, you have a very wonderful computer you came in here with. You drive a car. You had a coat on that was very nice. When you aren't you one of those people?
I have to use consumerism to be able to chase these people. I have to tell them in their own language. I have to use movies and media. They were cheated in. I want to cheat them out. I have to go through the same medium. They're open to television right now. Their hearts are open. Their minds, their eyes, their ears are open to the media.
Do you think the media emulates life or leads it?
I personally feel it's one way or the other. Like, it's both ways. The major force, like 80% of the force, is to shape it. And then what happens is, as a result of that, people become like, it forms a system that people become cogs in the wheels automatically, and then they independently and automatically. It's not a conspiracy. It's just somewhere we're drifting. I'm saying, like, it's not, I don't want to say it's a conspiracy, but my point is that the effects are seen, and they are cumulative. They're not one. It's like something driving there, and all everybody's drifting together at one point, I heard this one wonderful thing one day. It's like, if you're absorbed, you cannot observe.
That's good. If you're absorbed,
you cannot observe. Like a person who's like getting mad in love with a girl and just like fooling around. Everyone else can see, like, hey, you're going crazy behind that girl. But he cannot see it. It's like, no, I'm normal. So if you're absorbed, you cannot observe. If you are not absorbed, then you can observe. I'm one of those people right now. Who I am like a third person standing out of all of this, and I think, hey, there's something wrong in here.
That's a special form of meditation to be able to take yourself out of the same situation. Do you practice meditation and prayer?
Yeah,
I
have.
See this?
Absolutely. Only meditation can help you come out of, unless you really seek, you cannot find. Unless you really seek, you cannot find. So even people who watch this film, I'm sure that it'll be like a turnoff for them in a way when they see it, because reality hurts and it bites, especially when you're on the wrong side, when you're part of the problem. And this is one thing that I want to tell everyone. It's like that you're not a part of the problem by your own choice, so it's not you're not responsible for it. But the bombardment is so heavy, you're left with no choice. You think this is all that there is, and you're never shown anything beyond those boundaries.
So commercialism and TV shows have led people into the idea that they're entitled, or are we doing this just because it's easy and it's available?
Exactly. My point is, like, convenience, and this is one, I talked to a professor in sustainability, and I said, look, why do people go on cutting down rainforests, and why do people go on making all these cars that consume five times as much as gas as normal cars would? I mean, I'm not totally opposed to travel, but you can always have public travel. We don't have public travel. We have one man per car. Something like that. You know, we don't have public travel because people cannot stand each other. They become people intolerant. Human beings are a social animal. That's the reason why you become depressed. That's the reason why you need chemicals to live your life. So what happens is that we have gone so apart. Why are people getting into so much building such heavy machines and stuff? And he says, like, because it's convenient. He says, because it makes life convenient, and that's the human drive. I said, the scientists work 20, 24 hours a day. The people, all people working in big cities work 18 hours a day. It doesn't make their life any more convenient. Nothing is convenient. And basically, after all this convenience, so-called convenience, and big 64-inch HD TVs and, like, fancy sound systems and fancy carpets and everything, you need chemicals to get up in the morning, you know, to not feel depressed.
Do you think people are just lying to themselves?
Absolutely. I feel an entire generation. And the wonderful part is that everyone is, this is how media works, everyone is forced to think that everybody but you is happy. Everybody around you is happy. Why don't you become happy? Everyone is smiling. You open a magazine, you turn on the TV. Even the person having Viagra or person having a depression pill is happy. Except you. So you're like, actually, you believe that everybody other than me is happy. And I am not. But how can I tell others that I'm not happy? So I smile. I lie to myself. And then the other person who is also smiling, who is not happy, after seeing whom you start smiling, is thinking, hey, you know what? Everyone is happy but me, but I, you know. So this is how the hoax works. It's like everyone in the entire kingdom thinks knows inside the emperor is naked, but cannot say it because we don't want to be a fool.
Well, in Michael Moore's film, he is trying to open up the U.S. population to the fact that their health care system is in the pits and it's horrible and it's taking advantage of them. What do you want people to get from your film?
I just want them to pair together. I just want people not even, I'm not saying join back with their entire family. Find one person, just one person that you can trust and hold your hand with and have an emotional relationship. You'll not need chemicals in your life, both of you. You will use one house for two people instead of one house for one person. You'll use one car for two people. You will shop together. You'll cut down the consumerism by half just by pairing with one person.
Give us an outline of your film and how you're going to accomplish that and leave people with the desire to have that.
Well, this movie, I still don't have an official title for it, but right now what I think of it, it's called Logic Show. So what I'm basically doing is trying to show a logic. A logic is that, okay, this is the lifestyle you have, and this is the output. This is the final product of your lifestyle. I have no problems. Logically, I have no problems if people destroy the entire planet, its ecosystem, its ecology, its atmosphere, everything, if they become happy. The problem is that after doing all that, you don't become happy.
But there is a problem with that, that you said if you're happy, you wouldn't care if other things got destroyed. But somebody's going to care, so that's going to make somebody unhappy. We were talking about The Secret a minute ago. I was doing a lecture in California, and I don't know how many people, 400 or 500 people in the audience. And this woman came up to me like a couple of minutes before I was to go on, and she said, I'm going to be your guinea pig this evening for your process and what you're going to do. And I said, well, who told you to come tell me that? And she said, I'm telling you, it's coming from me. That's what I want, and that's what's going to happen. But it was 2 minutes before I went on. I had already chosen my people from the audience that I wanted to use. But she got very angry with me because I wouldn't go along with her plan.
Mm-hmm.
And she failed to realize that her freedom stops where mine began. So if the whole ecosystem goes down, somebody's going to be unhappy. Where do you find that line?
No, what I said was sarcasm. What I said was sarcastic.
Okay.
Is that, no, if by doing this we're not getting happy means we should not do it. That's what my movie shows. That's why I said it's a black sarcastic comedy. Is that the final end result of this lifestyle is not this. And then where it breaks, what happens? What's the exact root of the whole problem? You cannot stop being a consumer if you're lonely.
You cannot
stop being. You are a target. divide and rule is the concept.
So people shop till they drop because they're lonely?
They're lonely. Shopping makes you feel better. Eating makes you feel better. Watching TV makes you feel better. It doesn't make you feel better. It numbs you, totally numbs you of the thing that you're missing inside.
Do you think that someone who's rich can't be happy because they have too much money, they could buy anything?
No. My point is happiness is a result of relationships. Happiness is not a result of things.
There's a couple of books out that says all you need is love.
Yeah.
So you're going to go along with that and say that's all people need?
Absolutely. But my point is that all you need is love. No, all you need is to give love. All you need is to give and receive love. Not all you need is I want five people around me to love me. No. It's a give and take. It's a give and take relationship. And it's not even give and take of gifts or something like that. It's a give and take of confidence between two people. And it's very, I was talking to this one person the other day that person said that if I open up emotionally to someone else, I become vulnerable.
You do.
And that fear of vulnerability doesn't let you trust anyone.
But there's a step beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
If I tell you everything there is to know about our relationship, anything you need to make a decision about still staying friends with me, then I am not vulnerable anymore because there's nothing to hide. So there, people get to this point of fear of people really knowing them, but if they move a step beyond, people are too afraid. They think that if I lie and cheat and steal and pretend I'm something I'm not, then you'll care about that false facade,
uh-huh.
A falsest facade that I put on. But if you really tell somebody everything there is to know that pertains to the relationship, it's an incredible freedom.
It is.
I went on a tour to a third world country, Peru, and I was on a tour with a bunch of authors, and this one guy got out. We were up in the hills. And he was having his picture taken with these little ragamuffin kids that were dirty and not dressed very well. And he was hugging on them. And he was an author of a book about all people need is love. And he's giving them hugs, you know, and they're kind of looking at him really strange. I got out and passed out American dollar bills. Guess which one they ran to and appreciated more? Now, the monthly national average there for income was $17 a month for an entire family. So think about what a dollar bill gave to those kids. Did they need love or did they need food and clothes and soap? And you got to have both. You got to have the basics.
You should understand that, again, I go to the root cause analysis of poverty all over the world, is that this world, I heard this somewhere, like this world provides for everyone's needs but not for everyone's greed. So my point is poverty pertains in those countries. It's because of the finance is balanced by a central entity.
But I think it's very limiting of this guy to say all they need is love.
Love means a responsibility. Love is not just a feeling.
Well, they also need food. And
yeah, so the person who loves you should also take responsibility of you. And a person who loves me should take responsibility of me. And then providing for shelter, food, clothing, and economy is a part of that. But if you miss that out, all those things are useless.
Have you ever found somebody that you could have that kind of relationship with?
Of course.
You're very lucky. You think you'll find it more than once?
Oh, my God. I've seen an entire community of people who have, like, blind trust and faith on each other because they follow a certain consciousness, who understand this philosophy and they follow this philosophy. I've seen these things in action. In communities as big as 5,000 people.
How did they get there, to that spot, to that place?
They were seekers, and they were told this philosophy, and when I became a part of it, I was bewildered. I studied this philosophy for about 8 years in my life, and I was like, people got to know this. The world would be such a better place with it.
So all the people who need their cars and their TVs and their...
Good, use it for a group of people. Go to picnic parties together, you know, group together, not for pride. You have to do the exact same things. You don't have to change. You have to do the exact same thing automatically. Because this is the whole point of the documentary, that sustainability is not a set of activities that you have to do, like farm like this or put this organic manure. sustainability is a mindset. Sustainable consciousness leads to sustainable ecology. If you have an exploitative mindset, you know, that I, me, mine, and everybody else get out of there, but I'll go to Kroger and I will buy organic beans and sprouts and then I'll help save the planet. No, it's not going to work that way.
How do you think we got away from loving each other?
By media. Media just showed you that what you need is the most selfish person is the hero of the media today. The most selfish person who just gets what he wants is the hero in media today. His fame, and see how external these things are. If you read like books by Stephen Covey, you will understand how external these things are. The image is so important. I should look good. I should be with the best girl. You know, I'm not with the best girl. The best girl is also defined by completely external factors. And that I should be the best girl, not for because I care for that girl, it's because I look good in all the audience, and everybody's like, whoa, look at that. That guy's walking with a good girl. So it's all image-based, and the very fact that it's called an image, it's not true. It's an image.
So you're in this as a media person, so you're going to use it as a tool to turn it back on people?
Exactly.
So when's your movie due out? How long does it take?
In 2 years. It's a big project. I'm going to travel all over the world. I'm following people about samples, I think, like a school-going child for like 3 weeks or 4 weeks, his life, and then a young working man, a college-going boy and a girl, a middle-aged professional, a retired man or woman, a middle-class divorced man, a woman with kids, a homeless man, a homeless woman. I'm going to follow these people for 3-4 weeks with a camera and just like tape their entire life for those 3 weeks. And study and talk to them and ask them what their definitions of their identity. Like, what are you? What do you want to be? What is the greatest thing, school-going student that you can be? Who told you that this is a good school-going student? Oh, you know, this Nickelodeon told me this is what it is about, you know, and this told me, and this is what I want to be. I want to be like him. I want to be like that. And I'm going to follow these people around and study the definitions of their identities. I'm not a school-going kid if I don't speak this slang, you know, who teaches all these things, you know, I'm not a college-going girl if I don't wear these clothes or, you know, just these definitions of their happiness. What is happiness, you know, if I don't party hard, if I'm not on drugs, I'm uncool, I'm not cool enough, and these definitions are bombarded, like they just pile up over your actual independent freedom, free choice, and they stop you from having a good relationship. You just become a loner, basically. You cannot open up to anyone, and that's what you actually need. You remain unsatisfied, and you try to do it more and more and more and more and more. And I'm going to follow old women. It's like, you know, and just try to ask them what they are doing in their life and how their dependence today is totally on internet, and they're alone. They have no kids calling them. And all relationships are external, like showbottle relationships. I call them acquaintances. I don't even call them relationships. They're mostly acquaintances. If I fall down sick, no one's going to come. Everybody's going to go to their parties. And that there is no emotional content left in a relationship, and that's breaking people down. As a result of that, once you're not getting happy inside, you don't care for other people's happiness. If you're sad inside, you don't care to save the world. You don't care about anything else. I'm just unsatisfied. I don't care.
So you're talking about taking motivation that's now outside of us and dictated by media and putting it inside and dictated by what? Your motivation inside is dictated by?
Your motivations inside. I don't know whether I get the question, but...
Okay, if outside motivation to wear the clothes or the shoes or the lipstick or the right toothpaste is coming from the media. The media is motivating the person to do that.
Right.
And you're talking about moving motivation
inside to love and to be loved.
And where is that coming from? From your soul. Okay. So you want people to go back to that. This just seems like a tremendously big job for one movie.
I know. I'm not putting it that complicated. Like, the philosophy is not even a part of it. It's logical. if you do this, this is going to happen. You can't pick one side of a coin. You can't just pick the heads of a coin. The tail comes with it. And you're too blind to see it. You're not shown that part. Well, yes, I am going to end up lonely and unsatisfied and old at a point of time, but I will have no, if I don't build relationships now, if I don't sacrifice in a relationship now, that it's just a give-and-take relationship where I have something in my hand to give, and my other hand is trying to take, and both partners are like that, juggling, and actually both are thinking, I want both. I want to keep what I have, and I want to take that thing from that person's hand, and both are thinking that way. That's how people come together with that. And as soon as I got what I wanted, I go. Or if that person gets what he wanted, he goes. And then I want to numb myself of that dissatisfaction. So what I do, I can watch too much TV, or I can go to addiction, drink, have drugs.
Numb is a good word.
Mm-hmm.
The community that you were talking about of 5,000 people, where was that?
This was in Bombay.
So are you...
Not even 5,000, it's bigger. Well, 5,000 just in Bombay.
Are you going to put some of that peacefulness, peaceful quest in your movie?
Yeah, I'm going to travel all over the world, actually, with a camera crew, and I'm going to meet all these communities all over the world that are following psychologically sustainable mindsets. That
psychologically
sustainable mindsets. I'm saying, this is what I'm saying. It's like, are human beings sustainable? Because we are the only species that want to commit suicide. There's no other species on the planet that wants to commit suicide.
Lemmings.
Hmm?
Lemmings commit suicide.
Yeah, maybe one another species. But, like, we are the only developed conscious species that want to commit suicide.
And that happens a lot.
And everybody can that's the reason why people take drugs. That's the reason why people take medication, because they don't want to kill themselves.
Do you have an answer to the question, who gave us this gift of life?
Well, I have an answer. I don't know how much that people are ready to understand, because, again, there is no God in schools today. But I don't, at all, it's such a logical thing to believe. It's like there's something that I cannot make has been made. There has to be someone who made it. Like if I find a watch, and I see a watch on the ground, I pick it up, it's a perfectly running system. The first question goes through my mind is, who made it? And then we have these planets perfectly moving together. You can predict in 300 years what time the sun will rise, what time the sun will set, where the moon is in astrology, and where the star and the constellations are. It's a perfectly running system, and you think no one made it. You know, it's like the concept of not having a God is sort of warped. And that's another thing that media moves out, but my movie is not going to cover it right now. You had to understand yourself before. Or even like, I'm trying to give people the real selfishness in this film. Be actually selfish. Because you're acting selfish, you're not getting anything for the self. You're not self-satisfied. So I'm going one step back. I'm saying, like, I'll tell you what real selfishness is. Be at least that.
If you're going to be selfish, be the best selfish person there is.
Exactly. Like, actually be self-satisfied. Be happy.
So you're asking people to be real.
To be real.
Real to themselves.
Yeah.
Do you think, is there a step, the first step to being
mm-hmm.
a real person?
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
Now, this another thing is, like, the whole concept of vulnerability. Yes, if I open myself emotionally to another person, I give, this is what I heard from a really, really important person that I adore and I respect. He said that the person you trust the most can hurt you the most.
Absolutely.
The person you trust the most, the person you open up to can hurt you the most. So as soon as I decide to open up to someone, I have to be 100% sure that person thinks like me, that I'm having a compliment in my relationship, that that person opens up and understands the responsibility of hearing to someone in confidence, of accepting someone's confidence. There's a responsibility that goes with it. What this film will do is when people watch it in theaters, is that there'll be people coming out, at least 1% of those people who watch this film will come out and decide to be like that. Oh, okay. And it's so much related to selfishness, like, okay, And it's a symbiotic thing. It's like, I want to be happy, but if I want to be happy, then I have to be responsible for someone who thinks like me and wants to be happy. We can make each other happy, but then, again, at the same time, we have to have responsibility. If we don't, then the movie also shows, then you are just like you are right now, totally selfish, and you end up taking drugs for a living.
So relationships should be 60-60.
Absolutely.
Now, when I taught parapsychology at the university, I had a set of, like, 10 things that I helped the students through during the 10-week course, and none of it was about developing their sensitivity and their psychic ability. It was taking away the things that kept them from just having it revealed. And the very first assignment we did for people was we asked them to go seek rejection because fear was what was stopping them. So whatever you think you're going to be rejected for, go do it, and we're going to talk about it in class. And because if they were seeking rejection and they got it, they were a winner. And if they didn't get the rejection they expected, they were a winner too. And it allowed people to take that step over the edge of what they were fearful about, that people wouldn't care about them. And it was such an opener for people. And so that was my first step for people. And your first step with people is to find somebody that they can be honest and truthful with.
And it may not be like a girlfriend or a boyfriend or a wife. It can even be a mother. It can be a father. It can be a younger sister or brother. No, just form one relationship in your life that you can trust.
Do you think we'll have to teach the people to be that trusting person?
Yeah, because they're not. The entire population is not. It's like how many people work in this country and how many are happy. So we have an entire population, working population, not happy doing what they're doing.
And if they don't like their job, are you going to suggest they quit?
No, I don't say that. My point is that job, it won't make you happy. That's the whole point of the movie. These things which are you're told will make you happy will not make you happy. Stop cheating yourself.
So give me a list. What do you think? Finding a relationship, building trusting relationships, you have to be trustworthy first before you can...
Absolutely. So this is what the movie will tell, that this is something you have to do. You have to be. It's not something you have to do. Solution to problem is not about what you have to do. Solution to problem is something you have to be. And then I'm sure, like, if this film comes out, you know, by God's grace, if things go well and the film becomes popular, I'm sure there'll be chat groups and clubs forming on the internet who believe in the same philosophy and people who pair together watching the movie as a reference.
Have you sort of played around with the title?
I call it logic show.
Logic?
Like a magic show? It's a logic show. Like, it just logically shows how things are wrong.
Do you think happiness is logical?
Absolutely.
Explain that.
A lie has to be very big in order to disprove the truth. You know, the truth is in there, you know?
Well, say that again. A lie has to be very big to disprove the truth.
Cover the truth, but truth is always bigger than a lie. So now the truth still remains, so you cannot be comfortable, so you have to intoxicate and somewhat hallucinate and numb yourself with something, with thousands of images and sounds and things to just eliminate that truth that's in you. Like, it's inside you.
So you're saying be your truth.
Yeah.
And if you're a prostitute, be the best one. If you're a thief, be the best one.
Have one, no matter what you are, have one trusted relationship.
Have one?
Trusted relationship. One, just one. I'm not saying you can have, a human being can have unlimited. Mother Teresa, she cared for the whole world. You know, it's their people, they're saints, who care for the whole. I'm not saying all that. No, not all of us are saints. I'm saying one.
What if there are people out there who say, Satish is crazy. In my small group of people, there is no one I would trust. What would you say to them?
Watch my movie, take someone with you. When you're walking out the cinema hall, just try to look at people. Wait, I mean, I cannot. I'm not saying that you have to actually seek out, because if two people listening to this show right now can actually understand what I'm saying, if one person knows this truth and tries it with another person who doesn't, it's not going to work. I'm totally for it. That's why I'm making the movie.
So you're saying people to be truthful, and that's where to start. Do you know how many marriages would break up and jobs and relationships if people were truthful?
Okay. I think if people are truthful on both ends, again, I'm saying it's not one-sided. You cannot clap with one hand. You need two hands. that if both ends were conscientious understanding, and this is one thing you have to understand, that when someone opens up to you and tells you it's false, it's not that person's lowliness. It's that person's greatness. It takes courage. That person is graced. You have to applaud. And the other party has to understand, oh, my God, he was cheating me all these days. Now he's speaking the truth. Is he good or bad? And that we actually bind the relationship again.
So speak your truth. Be willing to be vulnerable. Do you think...
With one person.
With just
who
one...
Who is responsible to understand that and is doing the same to you. It has to be both-sided.
Do you think it's limited? You can only have one?
No. But you can start with one.
Do you think we should always be happy?
We are always happy.
How
unless we have to try hard not to be happy. We're doing that.
Well, what if my mother dies? Should I be happy?
If your mother dies, did she die a happy death? Everybody's going to die anyway. I'm going to die. We cannot avoid death.
Okay, well, I was just trying to make a point here.
All right.
My mother was ready to go, and she was very happy, but it was still hard. It was still sad.
What is that sadness? Is that you miss that person? It's a happy sadness. You miss that person. You miss that person's... You know, there's some people dying. I mean...
I think as we talk about it, I was happy for her because she said, I'm done living. I've accomplished what I want to do. But to be always happy... You know, I read a book by a reporter that went out and interviewed this nun that was living out in the... in some third world country with no running water and all that, and he was really interviewing her in depth and saying, you're their only medical people here. Aren't you afraid you're going to catch some disease and die? And she said that death was God's reward for living a life. And in that way, death would be a happy occasion, but we don't celebrate it that way. And what about if your child is raped or, somebody stole your iPod and your computer? Are you supposed to be happy that that person now has stuff that they wanted and needed? I mean, how do you tell people to deal with that?
How do I tell people to deal with it?
Yeah, okay, be happy your iPod and your phone is gone.
No. It's not so much that. The only one thing you have to understand in your life that there's one saying that I totally believe in. It's in the Arab countries. They say, trust in God, but tie your camel.
Yes.
And I totally believe that. It's like, you cannot be like, oh, you know what, I trust the whole world and la, 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 la. It's because there are always people who have not learned this lesson yet. And there are so many people who don't understand this at this point. And you have to be careful. But by only being careful, if you lose your iPod or you lose something, it's important for a person to understand everything I get in my life is going to go.
Yeah, I was talking about that in particular because of your friend
mm-hmm.
who had something stolen, mm-hmm. and he seemed a bit upset about it.
He seemed, and this is what I talked to him. It's like, okay, there are things come in our life. I never, on any of my belongings, I never write belongs to. I say under the care of.
Oh, very nice.
I never say belongs to. It's because I can write a nameplate on my house. And then after 25, 30 years when I die, the nameplate's going to change. It doesn't belong to me. Nothing belongs to me, basically.
What do you think would happen if everyone in the world was required to tell the truth for 5 minutes?
What would happen?
Mm-hmm.
I think the world would turn green.
Turn green with envy or blossom or...
No, with green with blossom, with love.
If everybody told the truth for 5 minutes, is there...
Yeah, trying to understand, it's like, point is that if a husband doesn't lie to his wife that he's cheating her, I don't understand. It's happening everywhere. Why do you just, like, someone verbalized it? Someone just vocalized it? You know, there is nonsense happening, because that's how people are programmed.
So you're saying, let's get rid of the false relationships and see if we can build a new one. And if we can't, then, you know,
Everyone does a fault. I'm saying that both parties, it's not always that, like, one... It's sometimes only the first... Like, I confess to my partner, and my partner got, you know, offended because of it. The point is that because I confess first, my partner is not accepting her or his fault. You see what I'm saying? Actually, everybody is doing it in one way or the other. It may not be about cheating in a relationship, but about stealing money or, you know, using a credit card more than what was required or taking another loan. And, you know, so everybody is actually cheating. It's one form of cheating or the other. And one can take precedence over the other depending on who opened it first, and then the second one plays a saint. And, you know, it's hypocrisy. My point is, as soon as we know, okay, so we all have done something wrong. Nobody's perfect. And that's what people do in a relationship. When they blame someone else, they play perfect. And which is not true, you know. Okay, you did this wrong. Hold that person's hand. You know, I did this wrong.
I am married to a very wise person, and he once said, you can't break up a good relationship no matter how hard you try, nor can you keep together a bad one no matter how hard you try. So if you tell your partner what the truth is, and it does break up, then you've just saved yourself a lot of time.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And it's that partner is immature to understand that if this person is being honest to me right now, that's all I want in a relationship, for a person to be honest to me.
So do you think trust is the basis of all relationships?
Absolutely. If there's no trust, it's an acquaintance. Know for sure, even if you have a wedding ring in your finger, if you don't trust that guy, if you don't open up to that person, sleeping with the enemy. That when you, if something goes wrong, that person's gonna up and go. That's the hard part of the movie. It's like,
what do you think inside of us tells us the right thing to do?
Conscience.
Where does conscience come from?
Soul.
And
or a piece of God in there?
In your soul?
Yeah.
I have a definition of God.
Mm-hmm.
I think God is all sentientness, all thoughts, all consciousness put in one pot.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's some guy in the sky with a big computer that keeps track mm-hmm. of everything we could.
Mm-hmm.
We're all one.
Mm-hmm.
Where if we looked at all of it, it's hard to separate. We each have an energy body,
mm-hmm.
but I touch you and we become a combined energy
mm-hmm.
body. And people don't get that,
mm-hmm.
that if they're hurting someone else, they're hurting themselves. I think this is an incredible project that you're trying to do. And so people are going to come to this, and we're going to change the world?
Absolutely.
And you need funding for your project?
I need funds. I need statistics. I want people who have done research on this. I'm going to logically show how consumerism has increased as promiscuity in relationships and selfishness in relationships and family breakdowns have increased, consumerism has increased. That's the line that I'm drawing. And how media has completely increased their flow of bombardment on these both lines, like increased consumerism and increased breakdown, like singling you out to become a good consumer. Marilyn Manson said that amazingly in Michael Moore's Bowling for Columbine. It's like, if you're alone, going to buy anything that's thrown in your face.
Well, how can people get in touch with you about their experiences, about what they think about your movie, ideas for it, if there's somebody out there who wants to help fund this wonderful project?
My email address is Moore Satish, MoreSatish, @gmail.com. I repeat, it's Moore Satish, MoreSatish, @gmail.com. And they can reach me on my phone. It's 408-835-3696. That's 408 area code, 835-3696.
You're likely to get lots of calls, and we will put this up on our website with your numbers in it. I think you're going to get a lot of response because people who listen to BBS Radio want to be responsible. They want tools. They want tools that they can share with their friends and with other people. And I think your advice is good. Start with the truth. Start with the ability or the willingness to be vulnerable.
Yeah. I mean, we cannot just make this world sustainable like in a year. We have done so much damage. This to cover is going to take time. But if you walk one step back, at least live a happy life and die a happy death. If we can come to that, then we can think more than that. If you're unsatisfied, you cannot think about the world. You cannot think about the world. So that first step I'm taking, and I've got a series of movies, an entire series of movies that I've planned over the last 8 years that will maybe swarm the media in 10 to 12 year span, that will step by step. Like, the movie after this is a narrative. It's not a documentary. It's like a story movie about relationships that, okay, I decide to go in a relationship, now what? So that's how I am planning to take things off of being responsible, of having understand the concept of inertia, of how it's difficult to take up bad habits, and then how it's difficult to give up bad habits. Everything.
Because they make you feel safe.
Exactly.
And being real to your very core sounds like you're very vulnerable, but it really is a very safe place to be because you don't have to pretend anything.
Yeah. And it's going to be difficult. What I'm putting in front of people is not an easy. It's simple, but not easy.
Because you don't think people will want to give up.
Yeah, but I want to shake their faith on the kind of life they're living and just show them the truth. Like, you're not going anywhere. You're not going anywhere positive, no matter what age you are. You're not going anywhere positive.
Do you think everybody here should want to make a difference?
Should, like, everybody who's listening?
Or everybody should be happy, or everybody should want to make a difference, or whatever makes them happy is okay?
I would say, like, having a global feeling of causing a change in the world is a thing that comes later on. Unless you're, that's what you asked me first, are you happy? I said I wouldn't try to give happiness to others if I was not.
Hey, Satish, we are out of time. This mm-hmm. has been great. We've got three announcements. Again, an invitation for our March 14th open house. Come and get your vocal print done free. And you can write to us at soundhealth@soundhealth.org or go to our website, Nutra, N-U-T-R-A, sounds.com. Also, this Monday, we have a preview class going on. It's going to be about diet, and we want to teach you how to take your vocal print and do your own diet assessment. You can write to Sheila, S-H-E-I-L-A, at vocalprofiling.com. We also have a free hour-long audio for you. Just write to Heather at Vocal Profiling. It's just one of our recent DVDs that we did, and we just want to make that available to you. Satish, thank you for being with us.
Thank you very much, Sherry.
I want to talk to you more after the show
mm-hmm.
because I have a question. Mm-hmm. I'll let the audience know. It's about if somebody rapes your child, how do you go about being happy about that? But we're going to have you back on the show, and we're going to talk about some of these situations. What is this lady saying on this music?
Okay, let me hear. What did she say?
Prima Shanti.
Prima means love. Shanti means peace.
And Dharma.
Dharma means duty.